The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, happy Friday. Welcome back. It is the end of another week already, the first week in July. It's a holiday weekend, but I think for many Americans it won't be quite as festive as prior fourths. It's going to be kind of a downer for a lot of people. Meanwhile, President Trump is off to Mount Rushmore. The Indians don't want him anywhere near there. Oops, maybe I should say indigenous peoples, to be politically correct. There will be a fireworks demonstration. This is a day-by-day situation. It's not getting better. It's not going to get better. And it's going to be just dreadful between now and the so-called election. Hillary finally stepped up today and said that she didn't think Trump handled coronavirus correctly. I think even an elementary school child would agree with that. She said she would have done a better job. So she's just laying back, being very quiet, waiting her time. And her time is rapidly approaching. April, May, June, July, August. We have about 5 weeks until the Democrat convention, the virtual convention. And at that point, I'm going to suggest that Biden will be gone prior to that or at the convention. He's just not presidential material. We'll see. Back with us tonight on this day before the 4th of July, very appropriate, is my friend and your friend, Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet. Hello, Charlotte. Can you hear me all right?
Hello. Hi, Jeff. Yes, I hear you just fine. Good evening, everybody, and happy 4th of July, you know. I don't know. I guess maybe if we're all, you know, confined to our houses with our family, you know, as long as we've got plenty of soda pop and wine and beer and good weather and the American flag, we can survive for the day with our families. But
yeah, I would think many people agree with that.
We're looking at a huge, most periods like this would be due to someone winning a war, you know, with the military out there, bombs and everything else. But this is the same thing. They have won a. It's been a virtual war, and we've been fighting it. You know, people like ourselves and your listeners for many, many years. You know, since certainly since the end of World War One. You know, they wanted to bring us into the global system. Then we didn't go for that, and we've been fighting ever since. Terrific Americans, long gone, many of them. I mean, I have my honor roll list for the ones I knew, you know, so there are many, many more, but that are on the honor roll. There are deliberatedumbingdown.com. Jeff's there, and a lot of people are there, and I'm glad I did it. We don't have the money to have a big monument, but in a way we're lucky because if we did, it probably would have been knocked down, wouldn't it?
Already down. You bet.
Yeah.
Just a pile of rubble.
Would have been. And, but what I see is there's a different form of warfare. We've turned a page, very serious, and it's a psychological warfare that nobody out there, you know, at the age, whatever you'd say, between, you know, up until 40 years old, with this small exception, they don't have any history anyway.
Right.
And they don't know what we've been fighting for. To hold on to. It's very sad.
They have not a clue.
No. And so you can't blame them. They're not going to like what's coming down the pike, but you can't blame them in a way, because if you don't know what you had, how do you know what you want to fight for? And so it's a new system. It's going to be, as we all know, it's going to be computers and technology and changing the human being and if you can't change him, get rid of him. And it's a completely different world that none of us, I don't think any of your listeners will all agree, there's no way we could possibly be comfortable in this new world. But they're not going to have bombs falling and et cetera, I don't think. I do think we may have a change in our form of government. And I've been thinking about that. We may not even
have an election.
That's
a very big statement. Charlotte, tell us more.
Well, I've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
I've always had this in the back of my mind, the parliamentary form of government. And if we're going to have a global system, I believe probably about, you know, 99% of the countries in the world are parliamentary, or they have some form of parliamentary form of government. We don't. We have this superb, what do you call it, direct election. We choose right from, I know that how they do it in Europe because it always bewildered me. My husband was Belgian and, you know, they've never had these elections that we have. So we have a right to speak out at the very local level. Well, we don't anymore with the SCOTUS thing. We can read a Supreme Court ruling and all. We can discuss that. See, that was a big element in what I'm talking about. When you've lost your right to vote,
right,
what I consider the biggest piece of the budget, the federal budget.
And, you know,
budget,
there are many ways that you can lose your right to vote. You can lose it through fraud, vote scam.
Yeah.
You can lose it through complete corruption of the system, through computer hacking, you name it. There are a lot of ways to be disenfranchised now.
Oh, yes, but they don't have to worry about that now because they've done it with the biggest element of chunk of the budget is education. And I often say this, I wonder when, maybe people think I'm crazy because it does sound crazy, but let's point this out. The federal, state, and local education spending is over $1 trillion. Now that would not, maybe that wouldn't mean very much to us unless I told you that the defense budget is under $1 trillion. Now, I don't like all those, you know, warships and planes and all this stuff any more than any of us really do, because they just kill people. But you've got something for your money, right?
Sure.
But we're spending over $1 trillion now on education. I know your listeners probably don't believe me, but I did do this research. Those are federal. That's federal. That was, I have to tell you, it was 2 years ago, federal
right.
statistics. It's all three levels. And what do we have for it? They can't read, they can't write, they can't count. They have no morals, generally speaking. They're poor things, how could they? They've been taught the opposite of what all of us were taught.
The other side of that coin is many of them don't care.
You mean the young people?
Yes.
Well, why would they care? They've never been taught anything that was useful, except, you know, with the blacks. I truly feel the frustration that they have felt through the years ever since the Supreme Court decision on integration, because they used them then. They had them captive. They used them as a pilot for all of these wretched programs, like, you know, the Skinner programs. And I have all the research on that. And of course, it dumbed them down, and it made them mad. They didn't really know they were mad, but they were mad because they weren't learning a damn thing. And excuse my language. Oh, dear. Well, this isn't really too bad a word, but truly, they used them, and they had to perfect the workforce training system, which is Skinner. You know, he said, I could make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule. That is also the Soviet system, polytechnical. So they used they experimented on the black children for a period of 25, 30 years. And, you know, I don't say that. James Bach, who was a leader in the movement, made that very clear when he said he didn't know of a single inner city school that had not used the Skinnerian Mastery Learning Program in the country. Then I've said this before on your program, I believe. Well, they perfected it to such an extent, poor kids, they didn't learn a thing. And the parents are, you know, not in a position to go and scream and yell. We hardly are anymore, right? Well, we aren't at all. Now, with the Supreme Court decision, who cares? We don't have any rights to speak at all. Because there are no local school boards.
That's right.
You thought it was bad before? Well, there's a letter here that I want to quote from. It's in my article called Left is Right and Right is Left. You had that. Did you have that? Did you put it on your website?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. All right.
It was a couple of days
anyway,
ago.
I want to read this. Every time I read it, I think, am I really reading this right? This is what's good about me, folks. With Charlotte, she never really believes what she sees and says.
Uh-huh.
I just can't accept it, see?
Right.
All right, here we go.
Right.
This is 1984. A letter to President Reagan was written by Willard Garvey, executive director of the National Center for Privatization. Now, don't forget, that's the Supreme Court ruling. With all the conservatives voting in favor and the Democrats voting opposed. Now, it should be the opposite. Or they should all be voting opposed, right? But it's the
right.
conservatives that did this to us.
That's right.
All right. All right. So, Willard Garvey is the executive director of the National Center for Privatization. The letter was dated April 6, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
An excerpt follows. Privatization, which is what we've now got, thanks to the Supreme Court and the conservatives, it's now an idea whose time has come. Oh, really? No, it's been on the board for a long time, all the way back to World War II. You know, the Chamber of Commerce was in favor, of course, of this, because it's for jobs, the privatization. That, poor parents, they don't know that's what it's for. Privatization now an idea whose time has come. The knowledge, communication, and computer industry can make political representatives obsolete. You know, hear me?
All right. I do.
Privatization might well be the theme for the 200th anniversary of the Constitution. I don't think they know the Constitution very well.
No.
Privatization is essential for national salvation. The following shocking notation was printed on the letterhead of the above-mentioned letter.
For national salvation. Okay.
Yeah, right. That's where national salvation. Now, the following shocking notation was printed on the letterhead of the above letter. Oh, Charlotte, I really love this. Heritage Foundation.
There's that H word again.
Oh, yes. And Reason Foundations, libertarians all over the place, Pacific and Manhattan Institutes, Volunteer, National Center for Citizen Involvement, that's the community education
that
thing,
like a good one.
Total Communism, International Executive Service Corps, United Way with its services identification system, National Legal Center for the Public, churches, labor unions, Peter Drucker, and Milton Friedman. Now, if that doesn't shock you to pieces.
Right.
That was 1984. See, that's when little Charlotte was in the Department of Ed. I saw all this coming. What a time to be there. You know, in 1985, Reagan signed the agreement with Gorbachev. Education, cultural affairs, science, et cetera, everything, even, government, municipal, everything was in that agreement to merge with the Soviet Union. Oh, sorry, I forgot they were dead. Yaha, really?
Be careful. Yeah.
Yep. In 1989, they had another agreement, which I never talk about. So this is new stuff for you. Reagan and Gorbachev signed another exchange agreement in 1989, which called for putting Russian cultural statues. Oh, I wonder what would happen with those statues now, with the Russian cultural figures, if we have any. But it called for us putting up statues of Russian cultural figures in the United States. Well, actually, some of those cultural figures, we all love them. You know, we love Tchaikovsky and all the wonderful
Soviet cultural figures.
Tolstoy and et cetera. But still, the idea is shocking. And so there's some cultural figures that we didn't like very much. But still, people don't know about that agreement. Those agreements were never voided. And we have the same kind of agreement with the Chinese, you know. So anyway, so what I see, I'm going to go back here with the privatization, with parliamentary form of government. It makes a lot of sense. I think they're going to mess up, you know, stir the pot to such an extent with what's going on now. It's the dialectic, right? That create the problem. Everybody, all these weird crazies running around tearing down our historical references, right? Everybody's going to get so tired of it all that they're going to come up with a solution. And that will be that we can get rid of all of our local elected officials and everything with a parliamentary form of government. Well, it does make sense. Look, if I were one of those countries that were all involved in this, I mean, the rest of the world, let's call it the rest of the world, I'd probably say, what are we going to do with the United States? You know, it's the only country that has a constitutional form of government, you know, representative form of government, right down to the local level. Dog catcher. Okay.
Barf. Yeah.
Barf. I think that might happen. Because everybody's going to be so mad that they're going to present that to us on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. So we won't have to have an election.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they do it in Europe? The parties elect.
Right? Yeah, we won't have to be bothered with it. That's nice.
No, I think it's, you know what, I ask your listeners to, bone up on parliamentary form of government. I mean, I'm not that knowledgeable about it either, but I think I know enough to be able to tell you to do your homework. And you can really dig into it, because I think that's what's coming. Because you have to ask yourself, it makes sense, it really does. I mean, you can't blame them for wanting to get us into it. You can't really have the United States, which is the most important country in the world, this outlier hanging off of their parliamentary system. Because with computers and everything, it just won't work. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Do you? How can it work?
No. No,
so anyway,
hey, look,
we're
headed toward the next big crisis will be one of the realization that technology is completely out of our hands now. We are here only at the good graces, there are none,
to
of the
used.
Evil that is running it.
You know, it's so true. When I was in the department, you know, I didn't know that much about technology, but I had done quite a lot of research. I went down to the archives to get some old papers on technology, because my office, one of the sections of my office was the Office of Libraries and Learning Technology, and Project Better Education Skills. That's the thing I leaked to Human Events. But I went down and I found on those round things, you know, I couldn't really copy them. I had to write. I'd have to sort of pull a paper, like a piece of toilet. Well, let's call it, paper roll. Yeah. And so I had to take notes from that. And these were papers that had been written by computer scientists way back. because they saw it was coming. And it was very interesting. You know, I saw their comments. They were extremely concerned about the how technology could be turned the wrong way against all of us. And I have
some of those
pictures.
Let's turn into our slave master. That's what it's done.
And one of them said, this was in education, you know, when you're doing the courseware, doesn't make any difference whether you're liberal or conservative. That's a direct quote. If you don't agree morally with the message, you don't use it. You do not put it on the courseware, the software. You don't.
Right, right.
And then you know what it said? You have to have a conscience.
What word was that?
That?
A conscience?
Yes.
Tell that to the Generation Z group. 99%
exactly.
of them won't understand what you're talking about. Conscience?
No.
What is that? They couldn't define it.
Exactly. Well, they're at the point now where it won't even be a matter of anybody even thinking of whether it's right or wrong, because there is no such thing as right and wrong.
They only think in terms of how will it benefit me. That's their conscience. That's how they do it.
Oh, the I, me, my generation.
Sure.
It just goes on and on. And
right.
I just, we've talked about this before. You know, we had our enemies prior to the year 2000. All of us did. But I always got along pretty well with my enemy. Got along pretty well with the communists in the Department of Ed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting how you can get along with these people if you have to work with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they were normal. We don't have normal people anymore. By that, I mean, they would open the door for me.
Generally speaking, you are 100% correct. Normal, remember what they say, this is the new normal. And they mean it across
awful.
The board. That's what the Bolsheviks are after. Everything is the new normal now. Opening the door for a woman can get you punched by the woman.
This happened. This happened in the state capitol quite a long time ago, about 30 years ago. I was there, and this woman, I think I held the door open for her, and she got mad at me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, sometimes you do because maybe they've got a lot of groceries or something.
Yeah.
And she said, you don't have to do that for me.
It is so revoltingly petty. Hold on a minute. We have to take a little break. Hold on. We'll be right back with Charlotte right after this. You know, you're mentioning so many critically important things that the average American not only doesn't understand, but they will never even hear it. They won't hear it.
No, that's what I was going to say earlier. This is the door has been closed. It's like a bank vault. The door is closed on. That's it.
Oh yeah.
On this information,
we have been very carefully removed from any access to reaching the masses. We don't have access to the mainstream media. You know, the internet, okay, but how are people going to find us unless they know who we are? Those of us who are trying to do our best to wake up the sheep. Now, I don't believe, honestly, that the sheep are wakeable anymore. I mean, they got these cutesy little phrases, woke this,
I know.
Woke
they
that.
Don't even speak English.
No, no. And
how,
I just
how can
really,
they be wakeable?
Truly,
Yeah.
I look at those videos, or I did look at them, Charlotte, of the... These aren't protesters. They're criminal communist rioters is what they are. Okay, I look at their pictures. Who are they? The obligatory blacks with their Black Lives Matter placards. But then the masses are 25 and under whites. Now, who are they? That's Generation
Z. Uneducated, total dumbed down. And you know, if you go back to, I remember...
They're called Zoomers. Generation Z. Yep. Zoomers.
They have very little morals. I remember an entry in my book, it was sort of around 1980s, young people in New York that came from fairly wealthy families. Uh-huh. And they were stuffing their babies in garbage cans talking about even the New York Times, several articles, you know, the Index is great. You could look, New York Times was getting upset about things like that. What, I mean, come on. So this has been going on a long time. And so now those young people who would now be, they're probably 25, what, then? They're 50, 55 years old. They aborted babies in the garbage cans. And these young people came from fairly affluent families. I mean, really, everything just went absolutely crazy. I don't think, maybe you have to be a researcher in order to follow the trends, like many of us are. And I was just noticing this right now. I mean, that woman who put her baby in the garbage can in 1985, that's 15 plus 10, 25 years ago. So she's probably around 50 now. And so we've really lost our culture, and we're having, at the same time, it's really diabolical. We're having superimposed on what was left of it a completely new, you can't even call it a culture.
It's headed toward third world chaos. That's where it's headed.
Yes. It really, really is. But, I don't want to get off track on the Supreme Court decision, because I think a lot of people maybe thought that was just great. And they were in the majority, the conservatives, and they've taken away our right to vote on over $1 million budget.
Uh-huh.
And that means we have no right to say that whether we like the curriculum or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have never, I mean, there's one marvelous person who I just love. She's about my age, and she's in the state of Washington. Her name is Chris. People listening in who, I don't want to give her last name, but she's been working longer than I have, since 1967. And
wow.
She's been fighting charter schools that whole time. And I think that she was very involved, probably, in the state capitol when the state of Washington, aside from its idiotic behavior lately.
You're being too kind. It's worse than idiotic. It's intent and clearly with malice aforethought that these alleged governmental leaders are destroying.
Right.
That certainly Seattle urban area, if not the whole state.
Well, it is horrible, but what I'm trying to say is quite amazing is that the Washington State Supreme Court voted against school choice because it understood how dangerous it is to take the right to vote.
That's a very rare bright light somewhere.
I think that but Washington State was the one, and I think that's because my good friend Chris, who's been working ever since we're the same age, she started about 7 years before I did. I was living in Grenada in the West Indies at that time, and I just want to thank her and tell the American people this, and as far as I'm concerned, she's probably one of the greatest heroes the country ever had. Nobody will ever know about her. And this ruling, this Supreme Court ruling, must have been pretty devastating for her. But who are these conservatives?
Right.
I mean, please, is this what, are we happy to have people like this who are turning our Constitution upside down?
Well, they're not
Didn't
conservatives.
Didn't we fight the Revolutionary War? It was over tea, remember? And taxes. Taxation without representation. We fought a big war over that. And now we're giving it away.
Yeah. This is all about the same thing. But they have turned all the words inside out now. There's a semantic war on
semantic deception.
On those of us who are educated and collectively wise, the words have been destroyed. Their meanings now are corrupted. So it becomes much harder to...
communism.
How do you actively communicate to someone when the words have lost their exact meanings? even close to their exact meanings.
Well, it's true, and I have a little book by, can't remember the name of it, very true conservative intellectual. It's in the Congressional Record on communies, and he knows all about it. He studied the Soviet system and all, and how they have completely turned. They've used, that's totally part of their agenda, to twist the words. But anyway, I want to read this quote from, this is from a top educator in Georgia, Eugene Maxwell Boyce, former professor of educational administration, Bureau of Educational Studies and Field Services, College of Education at the University of Georgia. This is in regard to school choice and charters. Was published, and an excerpt follows. Now, listen to this. He's not going to be one of our close friends, probably, on other things, because he's a top educator. Quote, in the communist ideology, hear me?
Yeah.
The function of universal education is clear and easily understood. Universal education fits neatly into the authoritarian state. Education is tied directly to jobs. Hello, Mr. Trump, who just set up the apprenticeship thing.
Yeah.
And Betsy DeVos, education is tied directly to jobs. Control of the job being the critical control point in an authoritarian state. Would you like me to read that again?
Sure.
Control of the job being the critical control point in an authoritarian state. That's what they did to us with the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yes,
level of education and consequently the level of employment is determined first by level of achievement in school. Now get this. They do not educate people for jobs that don't exist. Hear me?
Yeah.
They do not educate people. Look, so if your child wants to be a whatever, you know, you're not going to be able to keep him from being a fireman all his life. He's going to want to be a fireman. But if there's no job for a fireman, he won't get his training. You can apply that to everything. No such controlled relationship between education and jobs exists in democratic countries. Now, that's not out of my mouth or Jeff's mouth. So what the Supreme Court did to us, I think it's the most devastating decision. And yet, all the conservatives sitting back, they're so happy. They're going to have their private school paid for with federal money. And there is legislation, and that is in that article. I know you're busy, and you probably didn't have time to read the article, but the legislation was passed, and it's very clear that the federal money, it says this, listen. On July 18, 1971, key federal legislation underlying and controlling any subsequent education legislation was adopted.
Right.
Okay. The master control system, the interagency daycare standards, hinged upon the federal government's own definition of daycare. Daycare is defined as the care of a child on a regular basis by someone other than the child's parents for any part of the 24-hour day. It states that, quote, any agency, public or private, which receives federal funds directly or indirectly through a grant or contract or by way of a voucher plan must meet all program requirements that are set down for public schools. Acceptance of federal funds is an agreement. Hello, Betsy.
Yes, Betsy.
To abide by the requirements, end quote. Now, what does that mean to you?
Well,
That means you can't have pictures. You can't have the Ten Commandments. You can't have curriculum, good curriculum you might like, which might be
communism. In the raw,
yes, that,
right there.
Exactly, exactly.
No hiding it, no.
You know, so as the title of my article is, left is right and right is left.
Right.
So we had all the leftists voting the right way and all the right-wingers voting the wrong way, the leftist way.
I'm going to post the article again tonight. It's superb.
Well, you know, we've all been at it. You know, if we weren't doing superb work once in a while, Jeff, you know, it would be pretty pathetic because we've been doing it a long time.
No, you've been putting out reality. I won't even use the word truth, of reality.
Yeah.
For, what, half a century?
Yeah, it's just
something
about.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's just about. And you know, honestly, it was a miracle that I survived the brain surgery. It was. I read the whole report. You should have seen me doing my research with all the Latin words. What does this mean? What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
I should not have walked out of that place. Actually, even if I did walk out, I should have been in a wheelchair forever. But, you know, I walked out without
a
walker.
No.
I didn't even have a walker, Jeff.
You're amazing. Well, you see,
drained it all. It was absolutely considered the most acute form of surgery. And I mean, really. And I walked. I didn't even use a walker when I left the hospital.
Good. If they had told you you needed a walker, you would have probably needed a walker. They would have put that in your head. You had divine leadership, divine guidance. You had divine help. I believe
you're not kidding. I did. I mean, I cannot believe it. You know, that's why I keep doing the research, trying to find out if I'm wrong. But evidently, that subdural brain surgery that I had was it was acute. It was urgent, and they had to move very fast. And it just went. It went absolutely according to the way it was meant to be. You know, they had to go in there and drain the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was, and then I walk out 2 weeks later, sort of like I went in. You know,
yeah.
But I walked out just like I would ordinarily.
Yeah, that was one of the finer examples you'll hear of Western allopathic medicine. Now, in my case,
you had to escape. You escaped.
Well,
they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't drain my brain, and I literally did. I forced my way out of the hospital. I said, "I'm out of here. Get the papers. I'm leaving."
How come they didn't want to drain your brain? You had the same thing, really. You had all the blood in your brain.
Look, I was in ICU on my back. I had been in a coma for 4.5 hours after the staged crash.
Okay.
And they had two neurosurgeons, all scrubbed.
Yep.
The full operating room was scrubbed. They were on the way to get me with the gurney in the ICU when my eyes popped open, and I said, "Where am I?" If I had stayed out another 30 seconds, I wouldn't be talking to you now. But I was led to get out of there.
How did you get all that blood out of your brain?
I didn't. It just slowly absorbed, apparently, back into my body.
Yes, it can do that. It can. They were talking about that before they operated on me. The nurses, they're good. They were saying, you know, maybe we better not do this because this is a very serious surgery. And just wait and see if it will stop on its own. But the neurosurgeon decided, no, we got to move fast. Do it. And he did, and it was absolutely perfect. There was no complication whatsoever. But I am really interested.
That's really remarkable. Most of the time when they do serious surgeries like that, you just roll the dice. You never know. I just, as I told you, my voice kept telling the nurse in the ICU, it wasn't me speaking, but it was my voice, said, no surgery. No surgery. And then the voice said, I am in full control of my faculties. I am not authorizing surgery under any circumstances. Do you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
You know where that came from, I don't know. But it wasn't me. I just sat back and listened. I couldn't believe it.
You know, I do believe that we have had tremendous protection from God Almighty. You have, and I have, and there are probably a lot of other people out there who have too. But I keep wondering, you know, being a researcher, I've gone into every single word in that report because, you know, their reports are really like foreign language. I mean, most people wouldn't do that. I've spent a lot of time. I mean, I feel like I'm a doctor. I could almost operate on you, Jeff. Do you trust me?
Well, if you get bored, give me a call.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're probably getting, where are we? Oh, we have 5 minutes left or something? How much time do we have left?
4.5.
4.5. Well, anyway, the other article was that I had. I hope people will go to my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. These two articles, one is called Malcolm X and Yuri Bezmenov, the wonderful defector of the Soviet Union.
A true hero of America, even though he's Russian, didn't matter.
Oh, you know what? I knew him. I knew him before he was Bezmenov, see? His name was Thomas Schumann. And in the 80s, I was, you know, we moms, somehow I got to go to a very small meeting where he was speaking, and he was dressed as a hippie, his disguise, right? And his name was Thomas Schumann. And he had his wonderful little book called Love Letter to America.
Right.
And I had the privilege of knowing him before he became very famous. You know, he came out. And then he was known as Bezmenov. I guess that may well be his real Russian name. Or Thomas Schumann, I'm
Yuri,
not sure.
Yeah.
Yes, what a wonderful man. And actually, folks, that article of mine, if you go on my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, it's a download. You can download his book, which you can't buy anywhere. I lost mine, and I was looking on the Internet. You cannot get his book. It's Thomas Schumann's book, A Love Letter to America, but it is full text. Love Letter to America is you can download it on my article. Love Letter to America. And, you know, I'm glad I got that in. And then, of course, the Malcolm X quote is fantastic. I mean, there are people who, let me read this. In order to truly understand why America is the way it is right now, this is not me. It's this wonderful guy out in somewhere who put this up on the Internet, and I saw it. But if you go on the Internet, deliberatedumbingdown.com, you can get this article. It says, in order to truly understand why America is the way it is right now, we have to go back in time. We have to look a little deeper. The situation is far more complicated than they make it out to seem. So many people have asked me, why is this happening? How is it possible that one incident in Minneapolis can cause rioting all across the world? We are seeing riots in France, riots in England, riots all across Europe, and, of course, all across the United States. So what is the reason for this? So before we get into this interview from 1984, that was Bezmenov, I want to leave with you some words from Malcolm X. Remember Malcolm X?
He said some remarkable things.
Yep, and they killed him, right? This was recorded in 1963. I'm going to read it. Malcolm X, United States civil rights leader, 1963. Quote, now, listen, folks, this basically what this is saying is that both the liberals and the conservatives have been working together, and they both are not helping the Negro in any way at all. In fact, they are using him as a pawn. Okay, the white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. By winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal, think of, you know, what's her name? The speaker. I can't remember her name. Pelosi, yeah. Let's think of Pelosi here. By winning the friendship and support of the Negro, Pelosi's able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly being waged between the Negro and the white conservative. That could be somebody at Heritage, right? The American Negro is nothing but a political football. Am I going to get sued? Well, excuse me, I've done it already, so I will get sued. I'm older anyway.
Just keep at it. Come on.
Okay. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leaders who sell our people out for a few crumbs or token gains. I know we've got to go now, so I'm not going to read the rest of it, but that's basically the best part. And this is what we've been looking at. I wrote on this, you know, experimentation on minorities. That's an article at my website. And that gives you all the proof through the years. It's by the years of how they wrecked the education system for the minorities on purpose. So they could move it into no grades, all that stuff, you know, all the workforce training. And now we're moving directly into the apprenticeship system. Look, there was a educator in the Department of Ed when I was there. His name was Beck. And they gave him $4 million of your money to study the Soviet polytechnical system. Because that's what they had on their mind way back then. And then you had all these people looking for school choice and charters where you don't have any elected boards. So it's going to go zip right in and your children will never have an academic education again.
Never. Let me remind people, Yuri, that's Y-U-R-I, last name Besmanov, B-E-Z-M-E-N-O-V.
Yep.
B-E-Z-M-E-N-O-V. Besmanov. Look it up on YouTube, and please look at some of his videos while they're still there.
Absolutely. Well, this article of mine is on it's at my website, and they can click on they have a big rectangle with the video.
Good.
And you could just click on that. It's on the internet at my article.
All right.
Which is called, my article is called Malcolm X and Yuri Besmanov.
Very good. All right. I'm going to repost your new one again, so we'll have that. You take care. Thank you. You've never been sharper. I've never heard you sharper than in this past hour. Brilliant.
Well, I don't know why.
Don't
God
ask
Almighty,
questions.
I'll tell you.
Just, it's there. You've got it all. Everything you've ever had was on display in that hour.
Oh, thank you very much. You too. You know, we always have to pat one another on the back.
Well, it's just, come on. You're amazing.
And I don't know how you could do it because you do it all day long, huh?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yikes.
All right, my dear, I'll talk to you soon. You be well.
Okay,
thanks
a lot, Jeff, and best to your wonderful listeners, and God bless all of you. It's going to be rough times coming down the pike, huh?
It's truly a challenge, yes. All right, talk soon. Thank you. All right, there she goes. The one and only Charlotte Thompson Iserbeat. All right, we'll be right back. Hang on.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C.
With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Celeni has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Celeni's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3 commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rinse.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rinse.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algae on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rinse.com.